Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Over there, and but for everybody else joining us online, it's so good to have you with us. And I know a lot of people watch this after the fact, so they'll watch it Sunday afternoon, or they'll grab the podcast or YouTube, and they'll do it that way throughout the week as well. So we're just blessed to be able to send this out all over the world. And if we were to have everybody who listens online and through the podcast and stuff in the room, we would need to do probably two or three services, because it's just that many people. So we're grateful to have yous with us. It's good. Just a few announcements, just really quickly, before I get into what I want to get into today. Monday, we've got our craft and coffee, 10 a.m. at the shed. Coffee and chat is at the Senior Sits this Wednesday. So if you normally go to that, 22nd this Wednesday. Women's huddles, Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Men's huddles, Friday at 3 o'clock. And youth shed is Friday at 3:30 as well. So there's a number of different groups happening throughout the week, and it'll be good to get being part of something, you know, going on in some of those spaces. And if you want to run a Bible study, come and talk to me, and I will set you up, and we can do that too. So it's good. We want to get discipled, and we want to grow in our faith, and you can only learn so much on a Sunday morning in the short time that we have together, but individually and in small groups, we can learn so much more, can't we? Yeah. Just nod at me and say yes. It makes me feel good when you do that. we're in week three of our series of the self-denial appeal, and we're looking at giving, this idea of giving, and watching the videos. I've loved the videos this year, because we've seen just what the money is going to that we give, and we've seen some of the work of the salvos around the world, and I just love it, because God is doing some amazing things, isn't he? God is doing some amazing things, and it blows my mind every year just how big and powerful and mighty our God is. He's a great God, yeah? Amen? Come on, speak to me today. Next week, we're going to have a special time where we get to give of our offerings. So grab your envelopes today, and I'm praying that, you know, that you pray the amount through, and then we're going to have a special offering next week where you'll be able to bring it up during a song and give of your gifts to the self-denial appeal for 2023. But I'll need you to remember one thing, and we say it all the time: we don't want grumpy money. We don't want grumpy money. We don't want grumpy money. So we want you to give with a happy heart. We want you to give what you've decided to give in your heart, what you've prayed, and what God has told you to. God, because God loves a cheerful giver, does he not? He loves a cheerful giver, so don't give grumpy money. And I know this, that God can and God will. Actually, say that with me. God can and God will. God can and God will take a small amount of money that is given cheerfully and do much more with it than your grumpy money that's huge, right? Like, let's face it, he can. Because he owns it all anyway, right? So we don't want grumpy money. But today, I want to teach a little bit. I'm not going to preach as such. I want to teach a little bit. Can I teach it today? Can I teach a little bit today? Excellent. Excellent. Because I've got to teach a little bit about giving and the response to which we give by it. Like, because being saved, knowing that Jesus Christ has rescued us, right, from darkness, knowing that he has taken us out of the miry clay, set our feet firm on the rock, that he has called us out of darkness into, knowing what God has done through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on the cross, should actually compel us to give. Why? Because God is a cheerful giver. And God is cheerfully giving to us all the time. He's a giving God. And if God's Spirit is in us, that should actually compel us to be a giving person, right? Yep. Make sense? Yep. Right? If you're not going to listen to anything else, then listen to that. That God is actually a giving God, and if he's in us, then it should compel us to give. Should compel us to give. And we've seen what God is. When we understand just how much he's done for us, it should compel us, it should force us, it should just naturally come out. Naturally come out. Our response should be, when God comes knocking at the door, yes, Lord. When God comes a knocking, it should be a yes, Lord. Regardless of if that's, you know, he wants you to do something, or want to give something, or whether to, you know, serve here or work here. Or do, it should just be, yes, Lord. Our response should be that, because we know who our God is. It should naturally come out of us. Not this idea of, let me think about it. Let me just check my bank account balance just to make sure I've got enough to give. Or you know, let me just see if my diary's free so that I can, maybe I could squeeze you in here and here, and I could serve God in that little narrow frame right there. Like that shouldn't be our attitude. Or let me check with my husband or my wife, although I do encourage you that you do talk to your husband and wives about what God is telling you to do. But it should just be, yes, Lord, and then saying, hey, God said this. Like our response should be, yes, Lord. Turn to someone and say, when God comes a knocking, I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Do that. And I want to show you a passage in Scripture that we don't normally look at when we talk about giving. But it's a passage that is just, it blew my mind when I was looking at it this week. It's in Luke chapter 19. So if you've got your Bibles, you can get Luke chapter 19 out. This is the story of a short man by the name of Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus, a famous story. If you've been in church for a while, you know the guy that climbs a tree. So he can see God. So we're going to look at that story. Lord, bless our time today as we study your word. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm pumped. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Luke 19, verse 1. You ready? Let's do this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. This is the start of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. He's making his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And remember, when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to go to Calvary. He's going to go to the place where he will die on a cross for our sins and our shame. So this is the week before he does that for us. And he's going from Jericho to Jerusalem. He's going through. But we need to know something about Jericho. Jericho is a rich city in this time and day. In this period of time, it is known as one of the richest cities in the known world at this point. Think of Las Vegas, vibrant, money everywhere, you know, kind of people, like lots of stuff going on. This is Jericho, right? Vibrant, busy, full of money. Right? Verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now Zacchaeus was a Jew. We know that from later on. His name Zacchaeus is actually translated to the Greek. From his Hebrew name would have been Zacchaiah. Right? Zacchaiah means son of pure or innocent. But Zacchaeus is just straight pure or innocent. Right? So his name literally means pure or innocent, right? So that's his name, right? And then we find out he's a tax collector. Now, back in this day and age, I don't know how much you know about all this stuff, but I found it fascinating. What the Roman Empire did was they would sell franchises to people to collect tax, right? So if you were wealthy enough and you wanted to be a tax collector, you would buy a franchise. In this case, Zacchaeus bought the one for Jericho. Right? And what would happen was the Roman Empire would say to you, we believe out of Jericho you can collect 10,000 golden coins. And so Zacchaeus' job was to collect 10,000 golden coins for the Roman Empire, and he had to pass that on, right? He had to pass that on, and he had to pay for the privilege and become a franchisee to do that, right? Now this system was open to being abused incredibly, because Zacchaeus, if he collected 15,000 or 20,000 gold coins from the people, he could keep the difference, right? So basically, if you were a tax collector, you were pretty much known as a criminal, because you would just take money from people. Nobody likes a tax man to start with, but like, he was just tax collectors would just suck money from people. And there'd be a tax for everything. You've got a cart, tax. There's two wheels on it, two lots of taxes. If it had four wheels, yeah, you get four lots of taxes. Like, there was taxes for everything back then. And Zacchaeus is this guy who's collecting, like, the taxes for the Roman Empire. He's a Jew and he's ripping off his own people, right? And so in the minds of the people back in this day, you had sinners. and prostitutes and thieves and you know, you had the normal sinners people. And then at the bottom of the list, the worst of the worst was tax collectors, right? They were seen as the worst of the worst. So if you heard this phrase, you know, there was a man named Zacchaeus, pure and innocent, and he was a tax collector, that just did, you'd look like a deer in headlights going. Because his name, pure and innocent, did not match who what he did. Does that make sense? So he's just deer in headlights. People were confused hearing Zacchaeus and tax collector. He doesn't add up, but he wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. So, order of things, tax collector, chief tax collector at the bottom of that list, right? Nobody liked him. He had no friends. He had no people. He may have been able to buy some people around him, but that's about it, right? This guy, just, yeah, a loner. But he was rich, right? Verse 3. You need to understand this because then it makes sense in a minute. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was because he was short and he could not see over the crowd. All right. Where's Lainey? Lainey, come up here for a second. Where's Lainey gone? Come up here. I just want to... Come up here, Lainey. Come on, Lainey. We just want to measure how tall you are. Okay, so Zacchaeus was said to be... 100. Anywhere from here to here. He's a short, short man, right? If Lainey's taller than Zacchaeus, you know something's going on, right? Like, said to be from here to here. Like, that's the tallest he could have been. This is pretty much where he would have been. Thank you so much. I just wanted to illustrate that, right? This guy was short, right? You can imagine why he can't see over the crowds, right? He's only like yay big. Right? Here's Zacchaeus, you know, like here's this little gnome of a guy. Like he's short. Narelle size. 4 foot to 4'5", 4'6" is what they recommend, what they think Zacchaeus' size. Not quite a dwarfism. Not quite with the short limbs and stuff, but kind of like Danny DeVito. If you know who Danny DeVito is, right? Kind of like that, right? He would have looked like Danny DeVito standing next to Arnold Schwarzenegger. There was this big difference in height stuff like going on. So he's short, like megaly short, right? And then it says this, because he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see over the crowds, clearly because he's short. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Now this verse here is loaded. So much good stuff in this verse right here. We kind of just skip over it, don't we? Like he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus since Jesus was coming up. We just kind of skip over it. But there's so, so much stuff in this one verse. Firstly, it says he ran. Men did not run in this day and age. It was undignified. You didn't run. If anybody says, do you want to come out running with me? Just go, the Bible says it's undignified for a man to run. At least that's what I'm going to say to anyone who asks me, right? Like, undignified, you were considered silly if you were running. You did not run, right? The only time you may have ran is if someone you loved was dying and you needed to get there quick. That was the only time you would ever, ever run. And even then, you would calculate how much shame you would be put on you if you ran. So he ran. Remember, he's a wealthy man, but he ran. Can you just imagine these little legs going? Anyway. Then, we're told, he climbed a tree. Right? He climbed a tree. Kids climbed trees. Men did not climb trees. If you climbed a tree back in this day and age and you were a grown man, you were considered to have mental health issues. Right? Like, men didn't climb trees. But more than that, we know that it was a sycamore fig tree. Now, this is important. A sycamore fig tree, right, was considered an inferior fig to normal figs. and only the poor people ate the figs from a sycamore fig tree. Don't get me wrong, the branches are good for sitting on and getting up and stuff, but poor people would eat the fruit from this tree, not rich people. So we have a rich, short, stumpy man running, climbing a sycamore fig tree that normally would belong to people who were poor. Like this just speaks of his determination to see Jesus. It's all to see Jesus. Zacchaeus did not think about himself. He didn't think about what he would look like to everybody else. He didn't think about his reputation. He didn't think about anything. In fact, Zacchaeus is bold, he's brave, and he's courageous. Right? Out of this. Bold, brave, and courageous. Think about it, right? He's not big. He's small. He couldn't push his way through the crowd. He couldn't get to the front of the crowd. So instead, he runs through the crowd ahead of them, right? Now, imagine, just for a second, put yourself in the story. You're Zacchaeus, short man, hated by everyone because you collect taxes, and short. Wouldn't the crowds want to just lay a quick punch in or a quick kick in as he ran through? Shove him a bit, you know, like, that's bravery just to run through the crowd. And remember, you know, his reputation's going down the gurgler right now because he's running through. Like, this is a brave, brave step from him. And then he climbs a tree, a sycamore fig, a poor man's tree. Zacchaeus goes to extraordinary lengths to see Jesus. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you went to extraordinary lengths for God? We're going to see how far he goes in a minute, but when was the last time you went to extraordinary lengths in your walk with God? Because too often in the Western church, we get caught up on so many other things. The colour of the walls are not the right colour. My seat's not comfortable because someone else is sitting in the seat I normally sit in. The kids were too noisy. They didn't play my favourite song in church. The lady over there said something, so I got offended. Like, when was the last time we actually got and went to extraordinary lengths just to praise God? Not think, well, it's cold outside and it's raining and I want to stay in my bed because it's nice and comfy and warm, so I'm going to skip church today. Like, when was the last time? Zacchaeus didn't think about his reputation. He didn't think about what he would look like. He didn't care. He just went to that length. And Christ followers in today's world, we kind of have it good. We do have it good. And so we kind of go, well, you know, and we kind of make up an excuse. Instead of going the full weight. What lengths? See, Zacchaeus is so special right here because he went to extraordinary lengths just to see Jesus. Not to have dinner with him, not to commune, just to see him. Just to see. He wasn't expecting conversation or anything. Just to see Jesus. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he saw him and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately for I must stay at your house today. I love that. Jesus just invites himself over for dinner. Apparently back in this day and age it was very common, but if I invited myself to one of your places, you'd be like, you arrogant, rude so-and-so, expecting me to cook dinner for you like with no notice? Rah, rah. Like, this was apparently normal back in this day and age to do this, and it's the only time we see Jesus invite himself in the scriptures to someone else's house. The only time. I think Jesus saw Zacchaeus' lengths that he went to and went, I'm going to honour you for this amongst all these people because you did something for me. We know that verse in James, draw near to God and he will run to you. I think Jesus saw what lengths Zacchaeus went to. And so he went, you know what? I'm coming to your house. I'm going to honour you tonight. I'm going to be in your place. And because that was considered to have Jesus at your house, woo, that was good. Right? That would be good. That brought a lot of honour to you. Right? So he makes himself a fool Jesus sees it, and then he says, I'm going to honor you for that and lift you up. Amazing, right? The upside-down kingdom that God lives in and works in. Verse 6, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Would that be your response if Jesus said he was coming to your house tonight for dinner? Or would you go home and clean like crazy? Dust away, you know, get all that fine china out. Would there be stuff around your house you might want to just hide in the back room so Jesus didn't see it? You know, like, what would you do if Jesus came to spend the night with you? If you know the song, there's an old, old song. Type that in, you'll find it. What would you do if Jesus was... This is a challenging thought, isn't it? Because what he's really saying is, am I living the same life you see on a Sunday, on a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday? It speaks into that, doesn't it? Speaks into that. This is challenging stuff. I'm sorry if you're feeling a bit... Maybe just talk to someone and say, it's got to get good in a minute. Just say that. Zacchaeus gladly welcomed him. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. Oh, you know, people are going to criticize us for being Christians. People are going to go, you believe in God, you believe in a fairy tale, you believe, like, they're going to have a go at us over it. Do you actually, you know, people are going to talk. Like, let them talk. Like, seriously, like, are you serious about praying to this invisible God? Yes, I am. Are you serious about giving your tithe to the church? Yes, I am. Are you serious about giving gratefully? Yes, I am, because I know who God is. But people are going to go, are you serious? Are you really that messed up in your head? Are you crazy? And people will mutter this all over the shop. And some of us get twisted into thinking, oh, maybe they're right. And it's the devil's way of getting into our heads. But we've got to decide. Right there, right then, if we're all in or all out. And I think this is where Zacchaeus made that choice of being all in or all out. And then there's the funniest bit I've ever read in the Bible for a long time, right here. But Zacchaeus stood up. Now, I find that funny because I'm short. And I've had people say to me, you know, are you standing? Are you sure you're standing? Are you standing? Like, stand up! Like, because I'm so short, right? Like, people who are short understand this, right? People who are tall have no idea what I'm talking about. But, you know, like when you get it and you stand up to say something, they go, are you standing? Maybe stand on a chair. Like, I just find the Bible's funny in having to say that he stood up. Like, I don't know. That's just me. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, 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 here and now, right now, there's a decision. Right now, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because of this man too is the son of Abraham. Or he's a Jew. This is massive. Zacchaeus goes, you know what? I've got so, so much. I'm just going to give half of it away straight away to charity. Just, it's gone. And then if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'm going to pay them back four times the amount. Actually, what it starts to suggest that his name, innocent and pure, actually makes sense. He's so convinced that he hasn't actually cheated people that he's willing to pay four times the amount if he has. Even by accident, he's willing to pay it. That's huge, right? Like, you see how big this is. This is huge. See, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus saw him draw near to him, wanting to see him, saw his boldness and his courage and his braveness to get to the tree, saw the fact that he said, you know what, it's not about me, it's about you, Jesus. And because of all that, salvation came to his house in the form of Jesus. And then it says, because you're going to do this, today salvation has come to your house. Now back then, that word house in Greek, oikos, it means household. Come to your household. Everybody in the house learnt who Jesus was and was saved. Not just Zacchaeus, but everyone in the house. Salvation has come. And then Jesus says, you know, in verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. That's Jesus' mission. But Zacchaeus has this response. Small man with a big heart. You know, in the universe that is the universe right now, the one we live in on planet Earth with all the connectivity we have, it's not hard to think that I'm just a person. Just Mark living in country Western Australia. It's not hard to think that I'm just a person. Here one day, gone the next. That there's nothing special about me. It's easy to think that, right? And yet, this small man, who, you know, he is actually small, but he could have thought of himself as someone small in the scheme of everything else. Especially in the sight of God, he thought himself small. But yet has the biggest heart for people. And it's because salvation came to him that it just compelled him to then give. Does that make sense? You see, I want to finish with two things right here. Like, Jesus offers salvation to each and every one of us. I want to remind you today that we are saved by grace. That Jesus came to die on a cross for our sins, our shame, our wrongdoing. Right? That we were so messed up and screwed up and off the planet that he had to come and die a horrible death with nails going through his hands and his feet. And then somehow, in that transaction 2,000 years ago, his righteousness was brought all the way to today and landed on me and you. And our sin and shame and wrong somehow ported back through time and got to him. The skies grew dark. I reckon that was all the sin of the world through all time coming in and verging in one place. And he took it all on for you and for me. Amen. Like, he's brought us out of darkness into his light. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. Like, there's no ways we could have earned our way into heaven. And God has done it. He gave it all for us. And all we have to do is go, thank you, Jesus, and accept it. And if you haven't done that, come and talk to me afterwards, because I want to make sure you get into heaven, because it's going to be paradise. We're here on earth for a short time, right? Get to live with God for years, thousands, millions of years, forever, eternity. Who cares if we made like a fool for a few years on earth? As long as we're brave and courageous into getting there and accept that gift. And that's maybe where the braveness and the courage comes from, is to go, yes, Jesus, I want to accept that for my life, and then living that way. The reward is just too good to not do it. And at the end of the day, let's pretend for a second the whole God thing is not right. You ain't lost anything by believing in Jesus. But if he is right and God is there and Jesus is real, then we gain everything. I know that I'm going to heaven. Can you say the same? Like, that's the gift. Salvation has come to your house, to your life, to your very being. But because of that gift, because God is a giving God and that Spirit now lives in us, that same resurrection lives in us, it should compel us to give as well. Yeah? It should compel us. It should just spring out of us, naturally wanting to give. And I'm not just talking about money giving here. I'm talking about giving of your time, your talents, your abilities, your resources, everything you've got. It's giving that. We're talking about money primarily because it's self-denial, and I'm calling you to be bold and courageous and to say, yes, Lord, and to give back to him because he's given to you. Right? I'm not going to know who gives what, but I'm calling you to give big, to be bold in that, to be courageous in that, to go, well, I'm not even going to check out my bank account because God said this, and I'm just going to by faith believe that that's going to happen. And then you just give. And people will think you're a nut job, in that case. And people will criticize and people will say things, and your reputation might go down the gurgler, or you know, you might lose some creature comforts for a little bit. Who cares in the scheme of eternity? Your family may even say you're crazy. But you're saying yes to God in that, aren't you? Saying yes to God. There's a story. I'm not going to finish that. I'm going to tell a story instead. There's a story about a guy. He worked at a university. And as he worked, he could just see the violence, the crime, the things that got stolen in the university. Like he was just witness to the worst of the worst in this university. And every so often when things got really bad, he would go down to the basement where the chapel was. This chapel that never got used that much. You know, like he's down in the chapel and he's just sitting there and he's kind of smacking the pews as he's walking around the chapel. He's just going, this world is so screwed up and messed up. This world is just, there's too many problems. There's too many issues. There's too many things going on. I can't, like, God, why? And he's kind of smacking and he's having this debate with God, trying to figure out, like, why, God, did you, you know, if you love the world, why is all this happening? And eventually, out of exhaustion, out of smacking chairs and pews for so long, he sits in the front row, dusty front row, because nobody ever sat in the front row, and except for Marlene. And he's just sitting there and he's staring up at the cross that's, you know, in the center and that's, you know, the wood is just peeling and it's not well cared for and he's just saying, God, come on. I could do a better job at running this world. I could do a better job at fixing some of these issues. And just at that moment, the cleaner of the university heard this last bit and turned around and said, well, God's telling you to go and clean the world then. Go and do something about it. Go and help someone. Go do something to make the world a better place. And I kind of resonate with that because the world's problems and the problems we see on the videos and what's happening in the world is just too big for one of us to fix. But God calls us to do what we can in that little bit and then collectively we make a difference. Nationwide, we make a difference. Worldwide, then it just starts going. And all of a sudden, God does something amazing. Not necessarily in these third world countries, but in our hearts. Make sense? I'm calling you to give big next week. To actually dig deep. Be brave and courageous with it. Again, no grumpy money. Give cheerfully. Don't think that I've conversed you into this. But I'm just telling you, the scriptures, there's this idea that if salvation has come, it should compel us too. So I'm asking you to give deep. Let's pray. Let's just pray and we're going to sing a final song before we go. Lord, this week, remind us of the gift of salvation. Remind us of the gift of Jesus, how through his death and resurrection on the cross, we have life and life to the fullest. How you gave your one and only Son to take our place in death so that we could have life. That we are no longer living in darkness, no longer living in miry clay, no longer, you know, down and out, but that we are being called by you, pulled out of darkness into light, set feet on solid rock. Lord, we want to be like Zacchaeus who, although he did some foolish things in the sense of what it would have looked like to people around him, it was all for you, just to see you. Make us that bold, that courageous. Help us to be a bunch of fools that believe that you can and you will in every situation in our world. That you can work in there, that nothing is impossible for you. And so as we gift next week and do all that, we just want to know, God, that you're going to take it and use it and multiply it and do the amazing with it. But more importantly, that you take us as small as we may feel in this world. Compared to the world's problems, compared to the world's issues, as small as we may be, you're going to actually give us big hearts to do something incredible. Help us to think big this week for you. Not just in our money offerings, but in our time, our worship, our talents, and in every area of our lives. Zacchaeus may have been small, God, but his heart was massive. We want to be people like that. Massive hearts. massive hearts. We thank you, King Jesus. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Yeah? Who's going to be bold this week? Who's going to be bold this week? And courageous and think big like he's called. We may feel small, but we can have big hearts. We can have big hearts. We're going to sing one final song. These are the days of Elijah. What a great song. This is Stand to Your Feet. Singers, come on up. Absolutely. Declaring the word of the Lord. Let's sing, let's shout, let's dance, let's clap, let's know who our God is and what we've been saved from and what he calls us to do. All right, let's sing.